This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. So we started studying last time was al-marfu'at min al-asma, which are nouns that are given the status of rafi' within a sentence. Okay? So we talked about al-fa'il, and the second one was al-maf'ulu alladhi lam yusamma fa'iluhu, meaning the object. So the fa'il is a subject, and then an object that doesn't have an identified subject within the sentence. I mean, the subject has been conceptually removed through using a passive verb. Okay, and it's called na'ib al-fa'il, the substitute for the subject, or an alternative subject. Examples of that is akala, al-tiflu, al-ta'am, the child, right, ate the food. So if you were to talk about what is the fa'il here, who's the subject? Yes.
The kid,
al-tiflu, right? So it's marfu'a, right? What is the marker of rafa' for it? Dhamma, right? So if we were to conceptually take this word out, we would change the way the verb works. So the verb would become a passive verb. What would it become?
Ukila,
very good. So akila would turn into the word ukila. And this guy would be completely taken out. It would be ukila al-ta'am. Al-ta'am, food, used to be an object in this sentence, but because we conceptually removed the subject by turning the verb into a passive verb, right? This now becomes na'ib al-fa'il, or al-maf'ul alladhi lam yusamma fa'iluhu. Either it's called the substitute for the subject, or an object that does not have an identified subject, and it's marfu' as well. So here, what would it be here? Here would be an object, it would be mansub. So in the first sentence, it would be akala tiflu ta'ama. But here it's going to be marfu', right? It's one of the marfu'at, it's one of the marfu', and it's going to be ukila al-ta'amu. Ukila al-ta'amu. Okay, so we can give a few more examples of that.
In the alternative of fa'il.
Yeah, exactly. So it's an alternative of fa'il at this point. So we can give a few examples of that. Let's give a few more examples. Yes? Yeah. So we can say, let's use an example that's less violent for a moment. Something that's less less difficult. What else did you guys give me examples of passive verbs last time? Give me more examples. Thank you, Muhammad. Yalla, give me a passive. Give me you gave me like a lot last time. Think. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll give you a few examples until you can come up with something that you can talk about. So the man أخذ الرجل المال. The man took the money. Okay. So who's the subject in this example? Who's the fa'il? Rajul, right? The man. And it's marfu'a, so what is the marker of rafa' for it? Dhamma. And this guy is an object, so it's al-mala. Now if we conceptually remove the subject by turning this verb into a passive verb, what will it become? What does akhada become? Ukhida. Become ukhida. And then this, what was once an object, now it becomes an alternative to the subject, or a substitute to the subject, and now it's marfu'. Ukhida al-malu. Understanding how this is working? We're conceptually removing the subject by changing the verb from a direct verb to a passive verb, to a verb that is identified as mabni al-majhul. We don't know who did it. Doesn't matter who did it. All right. So I'll give you an example. Nafakha. Well, that's too hard. So حملت الملائكة الأرض. So on the day of judgment, the angels will carry the earth with everything that is in it. So this is the verb. Who is the subject? Obviously, the malaika, right? صح صحيح ابني. What is the marker of رفع on it? ضم. And here, الأرض, right? Now, if you were to conceptually remove the subject, how would you turn this? What would you turn this into? حملتي. Right? It would turn into حملتي. And then الأرض becomes what it's going to be like. I'm going to give you an example in the Quran. So, إنما right? Now, إنما doesn't really serve as anything in sentences. It is just there to say exclusively. Right? Exclusively, yada, yada, yada. And then tells you information. So it doesn't really change anything in the sentence. So it's just there. It doesn't do anything, right? So we look at the word after it. The word after it is the first word of the sentence. It is a vowel, or is it a verb or a noun? Huh? It is? A noun, right? It's not a verb. So if it's a noun, then this is a noun-based sentence. Which is, are we talking about ikhwa, or are we talking about mu'minun? Yeah. What are we saying about the mu'minun? That they are brothers, right? So we're talking about the mu'minun by saying that they are brethren, and that they are really, yeah, they should see each other as brothers. So this one becomes al-mubtada, and this one becomes khabar. Now both of them are going to be what? The whole point of this study. Both of them are marfu'ah. Both of them are marfu'ah. Both of them have the status of rafa'. What is the indication of rafa' in the, or the marker of rafa' in the word mu'minun? Wow. This is a jam' mudhakkar salim, right? A masculine sound plural. So if it was not marfu', it was mansub or majroor, it would be al-mu'mineen, right? So it's the wow that tells us that this is marfu'. The word ikhwa, what is the marker of rafa' for it? Dham, right? So ikhwatun innama al-mu'minuna ikhwatun. Okay. Let's think of other examples. Give me more give me Quranic ones or hadith, prophetic narrations, just for the just to jog your memory, because I can come up with anything really. It's just a matter of kind of using understanding. Because the point of understanding Arabic for most of us is that we strengthen our understanding of the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the basic goal that we want to achieve. So think of an example from the Mus'haf. Yeah, that's actually very good. That's very good. Let's say Ulaika. Yeah. Okay, let's use that one first, because that's easier. Then we'll go back to yours, it's a bit more complex. So Muhammadun Rasulullah. Alright, so this one is pretty straightforward. There's really nothing there. It's the first word is a noun, so it's a noun-based sentence. It's going to be made out of mubtada and a khabar, right? So which one is the mubtada? Which one is the khabar? Who are we talking about? Are we talking about Rasulullah or about Muhammad? Talking about the Prophet. What are we telling? What is our information that we have about him? That he is Rasulullah. So you know, the thing that we're talking about is the mubtada, and the information we are bringing is the khabar. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mubtada, and this is the information. Now both these words are going to be marfu'ah, right? What is the marker of rafa' in the word Muhammad? It is dhamma, so Muhammadun. And what's the marker of rafa' in the word Rasul? Also dhamma, so Muhammadun Rasulullah. That's a different word, we'll talk about that later. For now, just understand the marfu'at. We're studying al-marfu'at. We're studying the words that are given the status of rafa' in sentences. So when you have a noun-based sentence, the word that we're talking about is the mubtada, and the information we're giving about it is khabar. Give me more examples. I'm going to use an example that Brother Yusuf gave us. Yeah, why are you on Jahannam today? Can you think of Jannah for a second? I think we... Let's say Ulaika Ashabul Jannah for now. You're very dark in a dark place right now, Yusuf. So Ulaika... أصحاب الجنة. Now أولئك means those people or them, right? So that's or they. أصحاب are the people of جنة, people of جنة, right? So this is a straightforward sentence. It begins with what? What does it begin with? Noun or verb? Now, there you go. So it's a noun-based sentence. Very simple, right? A noun-based sentence is going to have a mubtada and a khabar. It's going to have something that we're talking about and information we're giving about that thing that we're talking about. So there's going to be the subject or the object and then the information regarding it. So ulaika, who are we talking about them or are we talking about sahab al-jannah? We're talking about them. What is the information that we're giving about them? That they're ashab al-jannah. So we're talking about these guys, ulaika. Who are they? Yeah, and that's what they are. So mubtada, khabar, they are both marfu'at. So what is the marker of here? Forget it, that is too complex for today. Let's just leave that out. The marker, we'll study it later. Ashabu, right? The marker is al-dhamma, so it's ashabu. Ulaika is a bit too complex for us to talk about today, right? But it's no, it's not fatah. No, it's just Ahmed yalab, right? So what is this sentence? Is it noun based or is it verb based? It's noun. Start with the noun. It's a noun based, but there's a verb right there. So what do we do now? So this is an example of a noun-based sentence that within it has a verb-based sentence. So there are two sentences happening right now. There's a noun-based sentence, that's the bigger picture. And then over here we have a verb-based sentence. Now if it's a noun-based sentence, we're going to have a mubtada and a khabar. Who's the mubtada? Who are we speaking about? So who's the mubtada here? Ahmed. So Ahmed's mubtada. That means he is marfu'. What is the marker of rafi' on him? Lam, Ahmed. Where is Ahmed's khabar?
It's the
jumla
ismiyah.
It's the jumla. Is it ismiyah?
Yeah,
yeah. So his khabar is the verb-based sentence that comes after. Because that's the information we have. Right, it's actually the whole sentence is the khabar, and then we have to deal with this sentence as a verb-based sentence and study it different on its own. That's why this is a bit more complex. Right, so we look for things that doesn't have that complexity. What would take away that complexity? If you would say Ahmed, la'ibun, yeah, he's a player, and this is the khabar. Is there a difference in terms of meaning? Of course. There's a big difference in terms of what the meaning actually has. That's why when you go from a noun-based to a noun-based complex with a verb or without it, the meanings will change based on what you're using and why you're trying to say things or what you're trying to say. All right. Any more? Yeah, look, give me. That's a verb-based. Kulu is eat. It's a command, right? So you're supposed to... Ashab al-fil is not mubtada and khabar. It's just you have to think of something and then someone giving information. So what about ashab al-fil? There has to be a piece of information that comes after that. Yeah. To an extent, that's correct, but just very, very, yeah, it's very, very confusing for people. It's just very confusing. Okay. Qamat is a verb-based sentence. And what about him? So Rabbul Alameen. So the Lord of the worlds. What about him? So Alim. He knows everything. Right? Now you have a noun-based sentence. Rabbu is the mubtada and Alim is the khabar. Right? Now you know what's happening. Because if you say Rabbul Alameen, that's not a sentence. It's a word. The Lord of the worlds. Yes? What about him? Give me something. Tell me something. Right? So there has to be something after that. You always have to think of the meaning. Understanding grammar is learning to understand meanings within sentences. Yes? Again, what about it? He is the owner of the Day of Judgment. Owner of the Day of Judgment, right? So you need something to talk about him, something to add to them. All right, let's go to the fifth. I'll give you like a ton of examples, inshallah, soon. But I just want you guys to kind of think about things like that. So that's number 1, 2, 3, and 4. Number 5, ismu kana wa akhawatihi. Ismu kana. Now, remember when we talked about المبتدأ الخبر literally 1 minute ago. So now we're going to add something to this. So الله غفور. Where's the مبتدأ here? الله. Where's the خبر? And they're both مرفوع. There are things that will enter sentences. There are different types of words that will enter sentences. Now we'll play around with the sentence and change things in it. An example of something, an external effector that can come to a sentence is the word kana. What does kana mean? Yeah. So what does kana mean?
Like, he was.
So kana means something has always been like that. The word kana in Arabic, when you use it in the term that it's used for, kana means something has always been like that. It's not that it was. You know, if it means it was, then the meaning change, then the sentence changes. Kana here means it's always been like that. Another example of a word that's very similar. So, and the name ism is called the name of kana. Wa akhawati are the brothers and sisters of kana. Kana is the head the head of a household, of a family of words. Kana and أصبح أمسى. What else do you have? صار. Inna is a different household. These two households are enemies. They're sworn enemies. The household of Inna and the household of Kana, they don't like each other at all. Right? So there's a number of different words. I gave you like 4 that you should know. All of them have the similar meanings. Kana, it's always been like that. أصبح, it was like that in the morning. Or it became that. Amsa, it was like that in the evening. Or it turned into that. Sara, it became that. It's all the same meaning. Something's always been or became such. So, كان الله غفور الرحيم. غفور. What this guy comes and does is he comes to the sentence, the noun-based sentence that has within it al-mubtada and al-khabar. And then but he makes a difference. He changes things. So how would you read this ayah, Muhammad? Kana Allah. How would you read it? Why not ghafurun? Isn't it supposed to be? Yeah. So these guys, this family, comes and it affects the khabar. It comes to the khabar, and the khabar that used to be marfu' will no longer be marfu'. They'll turn it into something mansub. So they'll give it a fatha. Kana Allah ghafura. He's saying how that's why كان الله عزيزا حكيما كان الله عليما قديرا كان الله and there's a lot of examples غفورا رحيما وكان الله عليما حكيما. A lot of examples in the Quran. Why? Because كان and this family of words كان أصبح أمسى صار all of them mean basically the same thing. It's always been like that. It became like that. Right, something so it adds a meaning to the sentence, but it affects the second word of the of the noun based sentence. It affects the khabar and it gives it a masub. What is this guy called now? Yeah, so this is no longer called khabar. It's called khabar kana. It's the information given through the word kana, and this is called ism kana. It's called the object or the noun that is follows kana, and it's always marfu'. It's left marfu'. That's why one of the marfu'at is ismu kana wa akhawat kana and all the different, the household all does the exact same thing. Yes, yeah.
Can I give an example?
Yes, give me an example. Yeah, but there's no, yeah, you need, so you're true, it's just, it's missing certain words, yes.
So what change, are there any change in meaning?
Yeah. Yeah, there's always a change in meaning. There's always a change in meaning.
What
change
in
meaning? So, Allahu Ghafoor is a very rigid kind of lifeless statement, meaning it's timeless, and it doesn't explain any It doesn't give me details. He is, Allah is forgiving. Kana Allahu ghafura rahima. He's saying he has always been like that and will continue to be so. So it adds that movement in the sentence.
Kana change the meaning.
So it adds, it doesn't really change, it kind of adds the meaning.
But what happened by changing marfu?
Yeah, so what kana is affecting, it's affecting the khabar. This is the word that it's affecting. It's making this word more dynamic. It's saying that it's always been. It's giving it a timeline. It's saying that this is from the beginning of the time to end of time, it's always been the same thing. It's not affecting the mubtada. The mubtada is staying exactly the way it is. It's affecting the other words, so it becomes mansub. If you remember, what is when we studied and what nasb is either masab is a primary word in the sentence that's affected from an external source. So this is the external source, and this is the primary word in the sentence that got affected by it. Al khabar got affected. It's supposed to be marfu', but it got affected and became mansub.
This change is more grammatical.
Yes, grammatically, and it's to the khabar specifically. Yes, yeah, Hamdi. Very good. See, awesome, Hamdi. You get it. Kana wa'aduhu. Now the actual sentence is wa'aduhu maf'ul. Wa'aduhu, his promise, maf'ul means it's going to happen. It's going to come. There's no way to. And this is a noun-based sentence, right? It's a noun-based sentence. Both words are marfu'. So wa'aduhu maf'ulun. And then the word kana came and affected this sentence. It's going to affect the khabar over here. What is it going to do to it? It's going to give it nasb. That's why kana wa'aduhu maf'ula. Now this guy here is no longer called the mubtada. He's called ism kana. And this guy here is called khabar kana. All right? Let's try a few more examples. Give me more examples. Yalla. Kana or amsa or asbaha or sara. Asbaha. Yeah, we did kana Allah. Can you think of something else? Yeah, kuntum azwajan thalatha is true, but you're always choosing the stuff that I have to take 10, 15 minutes explaining how it works. So kuntum. No, that's too confusing. Sheikh. People are going to get confused. Let's stick to the simple stuff. Think kana. Can you think of a sentence in the Quran that has kana? Yeah, but I need the ism kana to be there. So ism kana there is estimated. It's not written. It's not verbalized. It's not vocalized. So think of something that is written. Okay, we'll stick to the fawasul of the ayat. It seems to be easy. All right. So kana Allahu Samian. So what is the origin of this sentence before?
Allahu
Samian. This is a noun-based sentence that has a mubtada and a khabar, right? Both of them are marfu'a, so Allahu Samian. And then, yeah, you can use the Quran. And then kana, right? Kana came and is going to affect the khabar. Over here, it's going to make it mansoob, so it affects this guy and makes it mansoob. What does Allah stay? Stays marfu'a. But what is it called now? Usm kana, right? That's why one of the marfu'at is usm kana. Wa akhawat kana, because it's a household, right? It's not just one word. Kana has a number of children. Asbaha wa amsa wa sara wa dhalla, yeah. Yeah, but look for something different, because there's no ism kana that we can see.
I need some.
Very good. Dhalla wajhuhu muswaddan. Very good. It's a good example. So dhalla is another child or brother of kana. Wajhuhu. So the origin of the sentence is wajhuhu. Wajhu muswaddun. His face turned black, or turned very dark, right? Because he had a child who was a daughter. He wasn't very happy with it. So wajhu muswadd. This is the mubtada. This is the khabar. Both of them are marfu'. So wajhu muswaddun. So when you As dhalla. You can dhalla wajhuhu muswaddan. It affected. It affected this guy over here, the khabar. And this wajhu stayed marfu' and it's called usm dhalla now. Came usm dhalla. All right. Good. That is, we're just missing the khabar. It's estimated. I'll explain estimation very soon, but yeah, that, it's estimated the khabar. Yes. Yeah, but there's no usum and khabar there. Keep on looking. Where's kana? So here we're looking for something that's going to be affected by kana or asbaha or dhal or amsa. Yes. Okay, there. It's not a Quranic one, but fine. Fair enough. Fair enough. So the origin of this sentence is al-ma'u atir. The water is scented, has a nice scent. It has a fragrance, right? Asbaha al-ma'u atir. The water became fragranced. The water became, it became something. It wasn't like that before, but it is now. That's what asbaha means. Asbaha is one of the daughters or sons of kana, so it does the same thing. It's going to affect the second word. This is the mubtada, this is the khabar, correct? This is the mubtada and khabar. It's going to affect the khabar. It's going to leave the mubtada alone. So asbaha, al-ma is going to stay marfu'. What's the marker of rafi' on ma? And here is going to be al-fatha nas masuf, and this is called now usm asbaha, right? Usm kana is one of the marfu'at. It stays, nothing touches it. So when you see usm kana, what it actually is just a previous mubtada. It used to be a mubtada, but now because kana and one of his sisters or one of his daughters came in, it affected the sentence. It stayed marfu', but now it's called usm kana. This is just a mubtada in disguise. Right, so this guy over here, it's a rip-off. He's just a mubtada. That's all he is. Didn't do anything. It's just that he wasn't affected by the word that came before. Yes, yeah, Hamdi. Sure. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ. That's fine. I can live with that one. كَانَ ذَلِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَوْزًا. Now, the origin of this sentence is pretty simple. ذَلِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَوْز. So ذَلِكَ means that thing. We're talking about something that we know about, right? Something that we've identified before, that, right? عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, in the eyes of Allah, or in the يعني, in the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَوْز is a win. Right? So عند الله is an extra part of the sentence that doesn't. This is the مبتدأ over here. ذلك is the مبتدأ. And here is the خبر. So when كان came in, it affected, what is it going to affect? It affects the خبر, right? The خبر goes from being مرفوع, ذلك فوز, it becomes فوزا. And ذلك stays اسم كان. Now you're going to ask me, well, where is the marker of rafi' in the word dhalika? Well, that's something we'll talk about later. Because the marker of rafi' for the word dhalika is not apparent. It's something muqaddar. We don't actually know. We can't see it because the word dhalika doesn't change. It always stays dhalika. It could be marfu', mansub, it stays dhalika. It never changes. Yeah, it's just missing something. It's missing a khabar, that's all. It's missing a khabar. One more example? Let's see if we can get one more example out of you. Yalla, ya Hamzi. Yeah, we've done I think our fair share of kana Allahu. There you go. خلاص شغال معاكم الامور. Very good. أصبح ماءكم غورا. The origin of this sentence is ماءكم غور. That's the origin of this sentence. غور means it's under the ground. You can't extract it. You can't get it anymore. So your water is under the ground, right? Now both of them are what? What are these two things? Which is the مبتدأ? What are we talking about here? Yeah, so water is, who, is what we're talking about, so it's mubtada. What is our information that we have about it? Raw, it's under the ground, so it's khabar. They're both going to be marfu'. So ma'ukum, what is the marker of rafi'an ma'ukum? Where, ya Muhammad? On the hamza, right? So over here, because this part kum is an extra, it's a pronoun, right? So ma'ukum, and where is the, what's the marker of rafa on the word ghawr? Ghawrun, right? So asbaha comes along, and what does it do? What does it affect? Yeah, it's going to affect the khabar because it's one of Kana's daughters or sisters. So it affects the khabar, and the khabar goes from marfu'ah to being mansu'. And this thing over here, ma'ukum, stays the same, but what is it called now? Usum asbaha, right? That's a, so ma'ukum is a rip-off, isn't it a rip-off? It's the same thing. Like ma'ukum is a mubtada, is marfu'ah, and here it's just, it's the same thing. It's just called usum kana now, but it's the same thing. Is asbaha comes in and hits the second word. Now we're going to talk in a second, we're going to give an example of another, like inna, their sworn enemies, their arch enemies. They come in and they don't touch the khabar. They hit the mubtada right away. But for these guys, they only hit the khabar and they change the khabar. Usum ka, the mubtada stays and it's called usum asbaha or usum kana or usum amsa, and it stays marfu'ah. We have time for two more examples. Yalla. Okay. Sure, but where's kana there? نحن is مبتدأ. Yeah. It's just a marker of رفع there is concealed. It's estimated, it's not apparent. I'm not going to give you guys the second one. The second one, I'm going to stick to usum kana. Just give me a few more examples. We just said that a second ago, ya Sheikh. Yeah. Give me something new. Okay. Something that doesn't have ذلك in it. Can you guys think of something that doesn't have ذلك? Yeah, where is kana there? So yeah, kana mashuda, but where's the usum? Where's the mubtada? See, it's not there, it's concealed. A lot of times there'll be words that are concealed or estimated in sentences. We're looking for sentences that have both elements of the sentence in it. So let's give you an example of maybe something a bit we don't have any more time. Okay, kana al-jawu. Yeah, so the weather was nice, right? So if you took the origin of the sentence, it's al-jawu jameel. The weather is mubtada, nice is the khabar. Kana enters, what does it do? What does it affect? Affects the khabar. So the khabar goes from going jameelun, becomes jameelan. And this guy stays the same. He just called usum kana. That's all that changes, is that he's called usum kana. I will give more examples, inshallah, of this next time. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallah bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu.